If you have your Bible with you this evening, we'd like you to turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. Turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. You turn to that portion of Scripture. I'd like to thank your minister, Reverend Higginson, for the very kind invitation to come and minister the Word tonight, and also for his warm words of welcome. I do bring you greetings from our church in Port Hope, Ontario. You might wonder, where on earth is Port Hope? Well, it's a little town just east of the city of Toronto. You look on the map in Canada and find Toronto and just go along the edge of Lake Ontario. You'll find there the town of Port Hope, a population of about 16,000. As your minister said, we ministered in Newton Abbey for 13 and a half years. Prior to that, I was student minister in charge of the work in Oma, where I was for 4 and a half years in Newton Abbey. And then, 91, we moved with my wife and four sons to Canada. I helped in the establishment of the work there in Barrie, about 70 miles north of Toronto. And then the congregation met and called us to the work there in Port Hope. We've been a total of 28 years in Canada and ministered for the Lord in Port Hope for 25. We celebrated our 25th anniversary last year. It is a small congregation, has been really from the beginning. A lot of people coming and going and going and coming. But we've been encouraged of late, a couple of families. And then, as tenure minister, we were discouraged rather somewhat before we left. We've had a lot of snow this year. As far as I'm concerned, too much of it. An inch is too much. But we've had about a foot of snow over a couple of weeks, and then freezing rain. Then the temperature went up, the ground was solid, so the water, when it melted, nowhere to go but into our church. I went into the basement, flooded the basement of the church. That particular Sabbath morning, we were not able to have our morning worship, but we all had to go downstairs and do what we could to get it all relatively tidied up. We had an evening service, and then on the Wednesday night I got word from our son Aaron. He said, "Dad, the basement's flooded again, and it's worse this time." So that's what we have to go back to get something organized. And I have no doubt we'll have to remove the carpet and the drywall and so forth. So you might just remember that particular matter in your prayers, that we'll get it all worked out to the satisfaction of everyone. But it's a joy to be here tonight. Just to help you remember Port Hope, there's a man was born in Banbridge, in fact 200 years ago. That's the anniversary of his birth. That man was born in Banbridge. His name was Joseph Scriven. And he planned to get married. On the eve of his wedding, he and his bride-to-be went out, rode on horseback. She fell off the horse when they were crossing a river, hit her head on a rock in the river and was killed. Tragic event in his life. He then decided to emigrate to Canada, and believe it or not, he settled down in Port Hope. And while he was there, he became friends with the Pengelly family. He tutored their children. He met another young lady. And 3 months before they planned to get married, his future wife was baptized in Rice Lake, which is just north of Port Hope. The waters were certainly very cold, and as a result, she got pneumonia. Short time after that, she died of her pneumonia. So there was two tragedies in his life. And after that, he felt it was the Lord's will. that he wasn't to be married, so he dedicated the rest of his life to serving the Lord, giving out gospel literature, preaching in the open air, and helping the senior people of the town. He would cut wood for them for their fires and do messages and so forth. By and by, Mr. Scriven took ill and was confined to bed. In the meantime, he had written a poem to his mother back in Banbridge. She was concerned about him when he moved out to Canada, and so he wrote a poem. And that poem he called, Pray Without Ceasing. So she got that poem, and it was indeed a comfort to her. But then, as I said, Mr. Scriven took ill and was confined to bed. He stayed in the Pengelly home. And one night, Mr. Pengelly went in and saw him there in the bed. And then the next morning, and the bed was empty. He wondered where he had got to because he was so ill. Anyhow, someone in the household said, maybe he's down at Rice Lake, where his sweetheart was baptized. And sure enough, somebody went down there and found the still, cold form of Joseph Scriven. He was buried in the Pengelly family graveyard just across the road from the Pengelly home. The grave is marked by just a simple stone in the ground. And on that stone it says Joseph Scriven. There's another stone beside his. And on it is written the word Scriven Sweetheart. He wanted to be buried beside her so that in the day of resurrection the two would rise together. When they were clearing out his belongings, they came across a copy of the poem that he had sent earlier to his mother. They read it, a poem called Pray Without Ceasing. Someone in the house thought it would be good to have that poem printed in the local newspaper, the Port Hope Evening Guide, and that was duly done. A person who bought that particular issue of the paper read the poem and the paper and then used the paper to wrap up a gift they were sending to a friend in New York City. When that friend received the gift, they in turn began to read the paper and read this poem, Pray Without Ceasing. They thought it would make a lovely hymn. And they knew a man who owned a hardware store, a man called Charles Converse. They took the poem to him and asked him to set it to music, which he duly did. That poem became known as, has become known as one of the greatest hymns ever written. One of the first men to sing it in public was Ira D. Sankey, the great song leader for D.L. Moody, American evangelist. You don't know that hymn as Pray Without Ceasing, but you do know the hymn as What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I always tell that story as we go around the churches because it then helps the folk to remember Port Hope. So whenever you sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, will you just lift your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, bless that work and that witness there in Port Hope. As I say, he's buried there in the Pendigelly graveyard. There are the two stones that I mentioned. And just above the two stones, there's a beautiful monument erected to his memory. It has the words of the hymn written on it. Anytime anyone comes from Ulster out to Port Hope, well, it's always a pilgrimage out to the Pengelly graveyard to see the monument there. We usually end up singing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But 2 miles from that monument, there's another one at the side of the road raised to his memory. And then in Port Hope town itself, just in front of the town hall, there is a seating area dedicated to his memory. And again, the words of the hymn are found there. And on a couple of plaques, the short history of his life, his death and his witness. So if whenever you sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," you'll see it's written by Joseph Medlicott Scriven. And the music was written by Charles Converse. When you sing it, do ask the Lord, will you, to bless the gospel witness of Port Hope Free Presbyterian Church. Amen. We're turning now to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27. We'll read a few verses from this chapter, beginning at verse 15. It's a very well-known and familiar portion of Scripture. Matthew 27 and verse 15. "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Amen. End of reading there at verse 26. With the earnest prayer that God will speak to one and all in this meeting tonight, that tonight souls will be challenged about their eternal destiny. For it is appointed unto men once to die. After this, there is an after the judgment. Let's just bow our heads together in a word of prayer. Loving God and eternal and gracious Father, we bow humbly in thy holy presence. We know, Lord, thou art the thrice holy God. cherubim and seraphim in thy immediate presence veil their faces, crying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And now, Lord, we are in thy presence also. And thou, O God, art looking upon us this night. Thou, Lord, dost see every heart, know every heart, hear every thought. Nothing and no one, Lord, is hidden from thee. O Lord, as we come now to consider thy word, I pray, Lord, thou wilt grant unto me the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And in the preaching of the word, dear Lord, help me this night as always to preach Christ and make much of his blood. For we ask these things in the Lord's name, ascribing to him the praise, the honor, and all of the glory. Amen. Our text for this evening is that very well-known verse and well-known words spoken by the governor, Pontius Pilate, when he addressed the authorities and the multitude. And Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ was the crowning sin of our fallen race. For in that barbaric act is found all the sins of mankind, uniting in foul conspiracy against the Son of God. Hate is there. Revenge is there. Blasphemy is there. Cruelty and murder are there. All the evils of human hearts, of all ages, were concentrated around the cross. Just as all the rivers run into the seas, and all the thunder clouds empty themselves upon the earth, so did all the crimes of man gather for the slaying of the Son of God. Again, as the vultures hastened to the body, so did all the sins of men hasten to the cross to make Christ their victim and their prey. That awful death upon the cross was now only a few dark steps away for the dear Savior as he stood there before Pontius Pilate, the governor. Soon the torch-bearing mob would take hold of the prisoner there in Gethsemane's garden. Soon the bulls of Bashan would compass him about. Soon he who is the song of angels would become the song of the drunkard. Soon across that hill, lone and grey, would be heard the dull blow, the hammer swung low, as they nailed God's Son to the tree. Soon the blood would flow. Soon the agony would begin. Soon the heavens would mourn. But before those things would take place, Pilate had a question to answer. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And there you have it. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? The question of questions. The inescapable question. A question that Pilate had to answer. And I'll tell you something right now. Every man and woman, every boy and girl in this meeting tonight will answer that question before you leave Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church tonight. You'll answer it. Before those doors swing open and you leave this building, you will have decided what you're going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ. And that answer that you give tonight, listen, that answer that you give this evening will determine your eternity. Where you will be in eternity. Whether it will be eternal night or eternal day depends on what you do with Jesus, which is called Christ. Whether you will suffer the eternal consequences of your sin or enjoy the eternal joys of salvation depends on what you do with Jesus, which is called Christ. And I would say, make sure you give the right answer. You make sure you give the right answer. Make sure you get it right. Regarding this question which faced Pilate, what I see here, first of all, is Pilate and his great dilemma. Pilate and his great dilemma. The governor was caught that day in the horns of a dilemma. What would he do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Look carefully at his words, and you will see that it was a personal dilemma. What did he say? He said, what shall I do? It was personal. Here was a question which he must make, an answer that he must give, a decision which he must make. No one could make it for him. Oh, he had hoped that Herod would make it for him because he sent the Lord Jesus to Herod. And Herod simply returned the Lord back to Pilate. And there the Savior stood. Christ stood before him. And he addressed the multitude and he said, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? It was his responsibility to give the answer. It was his reply that everyone awaited. What was he going to do? If we could address him, we could say, Pilate, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are you going to do with that man that stands before you with bloodied back, whose brow would soon be crowned with thorns, whose hands would soon be nailed to the cross? who would soon wear a purple robe, yea, who would soon be put to an open shame. Pilate, what are you going to do? That same figure is standing before you tonight. Christ is here. The Lord Jesus is in this meeting tonight, and he stands before you this evening, this stranger of Galilee. He's before you tonight through this gospel message. And if you will not ask the question, if you will not put the question to yourself, well, then I'll do it for you. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? He's here. He's before you tonight. Jesus, Savior. Christ, anointed. He's the anointed Savior. Listen, he's your only Savior. You reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be in hell. I'm not going to stand here tonight and tell you lies. God forbid. I don't want anyone here this evening to face me in the day of judgment and point the finger at me and say, preacher, you never told me. You never warned me. But by God's grace, that's what we'll do tonight. We'll tell you. And we'll warn you. And so tonight I present him to you. I present to you the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you, here, take him. Receive him. Receive him. He'll save your soul. He'll take your sin away. He'll pardon your iniquities. He'll take you to heaven. He'll save you from hell. Praise the Lord. Here he is. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's a personal question. Personal dilemma. Nobody here can make it a decision for you. Nobody. It's yours. It's right before you. It's on your lap, as it were. You have to deal with it tonight. You must deal with it tonight. There's no way around it. There's no way of avoiding it. You must decide tonight. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Not only a personal dilemma, it was a pressing dilemma. The elders, Pharisees, scribes, and the mob were all pressing him for an answer. They were all gathered there. He couldn't afford, as we would say, to dilly-dally over the matter. No, he couldn't look for a more convenient season. The season had come. It was there right before him. As far as the antagonists were concerned, he had taken far too long already. No doubt Pilate wished he could have pushed the decision back a week. I'm sure Pilate wished he didn't have the decision to make at all. He wished somebody else could have made the decision. There it was before him. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? My friend, here in this meeting tonight, that's where you are right now. That's where you are at this moment in time. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Young man, what are you going to do? Now, don't be listening. Whatever you do, don't listen to the lies of the devil when he'll tell you, oh, you've plenty of time. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. The truth is not in him. Don't listen to a liar. Over the years of my ministry, I've had many a funeral service to conduct. Stood at many an open grave in a graveyard, and there's something I've always taken note of as either gone in or coming out. You look at the headstones and you look at the day of death, and then after it gives you the years, how old the person was. All different ages. And some of them are young people. They no doubt thought they had plenty of time. Well, here it is tonight. What are you going to do with Jesus? Listen to this. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. This right now, tonight, this 24th, evening of the month of March 2019, it'll be written down in heaven. It'll be recorded in the books of heaven what you did with Jesus tonight. How come you were here tonight? Do you usually come? Maybe you're here tonight as a result of an invitation. Maybe you don't usually come to this church. Maybe you're here already and you say, I wish I was out of here. Well, I want to tell you, I believe in a sovereign God. And I believe with all my heart you're here tonight because God brought you here. Or you might have received an invitation from a friend or a member of your family. But in the providence of God, you're here tonight. God has brought you here tonight that He might meet with you tonight through the Word. It's an appointment with God. That's what it is. Your being here tonight is an appointment with God. Never mind the preacher. You're dealing with God tonight. Dealing with God. Can't fool around with God. And here was Pilate. He had this pressing question put to himself. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? It was personal. It was a particular dilemma. Because you see, this was no ordinary prisoner. The man who was standing before Pilate was no ordinary prisoner. No, this was the King of the Jews. This was the Son of Man, the Son of God. This was the miracle worker of Galilee. And what the governor would do with this man who stood before him could have consequences. Yea, would have consequences. Would. Pilate didn't realize something, you know, and maybe you don't realize it either. But that man who stood before Pilate that day, that humble individual, that humiliated individual, that hated individual, Pilate would see him again. No. Next time Pilate would see him, he wouldn't be wearing shepherd's garments. He wouldn't be wearing a crown of thorns. He wouldn't be standing before Pilate. Pilate would be standing before him. And this Jesus, which is called Christ, would be on a throne. And Pilate would stand before the king, robed in garments wondrously fair, crowned with many crowns, with the host of heaven at his beck and call. And Pilate, if he needed reminding, would be reminded of that day when he decided what he did with Jesus, which is called Christ. Pilate would see him again, see him meeting out justice and judgment upon all those who in their lifetime rejected the Lord Jesus, stood against him, decided against him. Christ will mete out the judgment then. And Pilate would see him again, all right. See him and hear him as he pronounces the sentence. Listen. He will say to Pilate, I trust that nobody here will hear that sentence. But he will say to Pilate and others like him, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Depart from me. I never knew you. The word never is a strong word. The word means never at any time. You can sit in a free Presbyterian church. I'm glad you do. But you can sit in a free Presbyterian church and still reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord will say to you in the day of judgment, I never knew you at any time. Never knew you. Never knew you. Depart from me. Into everlasting fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels. And dear hearer, in this meeting tonight, I want you to set aside all prejudice that you may have against Christians, against religion. And I want you to consider what you're going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ. Heaven is waiting. Heaven's waiting. The Lord is waiting. Angels are waiting. Friends are waiting. The preacher's waiting. Waiting on what you're going to do. You be very hesitant about going out of this meeting tonight if you haven't decided for Christ. For Pilate, it was a great dilemma. Then I see for Pilate his grave decision. Oh, Pilate, what decision did you make? What have you done with your soul? What terrible charge will be laid against you in the day of judgment? Pilate, what did you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What did you do? Verse 23, the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. It was his decision. He had made it. He had made the decision. You notice that decision. It was a considered decision. No, he didn't rush into it. No, not at all. He didn't rush into it. He had considered certain matters before he gave his verdict. He had considered the innocence of the prisoner. He had considered the innocence of the prisoner because he said in verse 24, he's a just person. In Luke 22, verses 4, 14 and 22, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. He had considered the innocence of the prisoner. Pilate knew, this is it. Pilate knew that the prisoner had done no wrong. Pilate knew it. I find no fault in him. He's a just person. How much greater will his condemnation be when he stands before God and he's charged with putting to death an innocent man. And that innocent man being the Son of God. Boy, you wouldn't want to be in Pilate's shoes. You wouldn't. And neither would I want to be in your shoes tonight if you make the same decision. If you make the same choice, are you going to raise your hand against Christ? Are you going to raise your hand against an innocent man? Let me ask you, what has the Lord done against you? You reject the Lord Jesus Christ. You raise your hand against him. You say in your heart, away with him. Let me ask, what has he done against you? What crime has he committed? How has he offended you? If you're honest tonight, you'll have to say, he hasn't done anything against me. And why would you reject him? Why would you say to me tonight in your heart, away with him? Why would you say tonight, preacher, you can keep your Jesus? Your condemnation in eternity will be the same as Pilate's. There'll be no difference. I tell you that, there'll be no different. So he had considered the matter and said he was an innocent prisoner. But then I noticed something else. I noticed the interruption of his partner, his wife. Boy, that brings it home now, doesn't it? That brings it nearer home now. Verse 19, and when he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. His wife. He was about to make the decision because it says when he was sat down, he would sit down and make the judgment. He would sit down and make the decision. And as he sat down and was about to make the decision, his wife had a word with him. His wife. His partner in life. His wife said to him, husband, have thou nothing to do with that just man. Don't condemn him. Don't chastise him. Don't crucify him. Have nothing to do with him. For I have suffered many things in the dream this day because of him. She was a faithful wife, wasn't she? She came with a word for her husband. Basically what she was saying, husband, you make the right decision. You make sure you get it right, husband. And whatever you do, don't raise a hand against him. We said the fact that his wife spoke to him brought it home. And many are here tonight. And maybe a wife or a husband. A young man, young lady, maybe a mother and a father has spoken to you. That brings it home, doesn't it? Maybe a faithful mother and father has said to their children, will you not give your heart to the Lord? We're praying for you. We want to see you saved. We want you in heaven with us. I have four sons. I know what it's like. I know what it's like. You want your sons and your daughters in glory with you. And you're here tonight. And you can even now hear the voice of that mother. You can even now hear the voice of your dad. You know the number of times he's come and put his arm around you. The number of times you pass by his bedroom and you've heard him pray and your name has been mentioned. Are you going to trump over those prayers? Are you going to trump over those exhortations to receive Christ? You reject Christ and die without him, you'll still hear those exhortations. You'll still hear the voice of your mother. You'll still hear the voice of your father pleading with you to come to Christ. You'll hear that voice for all eternity. And it'll only add to your torments. And you'll wish you had another chance. But the last chance has gone. What will you do with Jesus then? You notice the insistence of the people. No matter what Pilate said to the people, he always got the same reply. Let him be crucified, verse 23. There were the chief priests and the elders and the multitude, and they all said the same thing. Let him be crucified. So I suppose then Pilate went with the crowd. He didn't listen to his wife's voice. He didn't listen to his own conscience. Didn't he say, I find no fault in him? No, he didn't listen. He listened to the mob. He listened to the crowd. And there's many a soul in a lost eternity tonight because they listened to the crowd. They didn't want to go and tell their workmates. They didn't want to go and tell the boys they drink with. You know, I've become a Christian. They didn't want to be laughed at. Pilate went with the crowd. Let me tell you something. Pilate's still with that crowd. And he can still hear their voices echoing throughout the caverns of the dam. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. He can hear it all. Because hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Worm. What's the worm? It's the memory. It's the memory. Remember the rich man? He lifted up his eyes being in torments. And he wanted a message brought to his brethren. I have five brethren. He remembered them. He remembered they weren't ready to die. Somebody go and tell my brethren, don't come into this place. He remembered, you see. And you'll remember. You'll remember this meeting. You'll remember the text of Scripture. You'll remember the message. You'll remember those who pleaded with you to give your heart to the Lord. I was talking to a lady last week. Her mother passed away a number of months ago. She was very fond of her mother. And a month or so after her mother passed away, she had some trouble in her home. And she says she wished that she had her mother there with her, but she says, you know, I could just hear my mother say to me, it's going to be all right. While she wasn't there in person, yet she could, as it were, hear her mother say, daughter, it's going to be all right. I see what Ollie's would have said. She remembered what her mother told her in the past. She remembered. You'll remember. You'll hear your mother's voice as if she's stand beside you. But she's not. You notice, not only was it a considered decision, it was a cruel decision. Acknowledging that the Lord Jesus was innocent and knowing what death by crucifixion involved. He knew it all. He'd seen it all before. But as I said before, this was a particular, special prisoner. Pilate knew what it all involved. If he made the wrong decision, he knew what it involved. If he voted against and decided against an innocent man, he knew what it involved. Pilate had a part in what Christ suffered. because it was of his decision. Pilate had a part in the scourging. Pilate had a part in the beating. Pilate had a part in the buffeting. Pilate had a part in the barbaric treatment of the Son of God. He might as well have cut down the tree and fashioned it in the shape of a cross. He might as well have held the hammer. His names were on the nails. He might as well have hoisted up that cross and suspended Christ between heaven and earth. You ask me, what did Pilate do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I say, look away to Calvary. See one hanging there in agony and shame. Look at that lacerated back. Look at that thorn-crowned brow. Look at that visage marred more than any man's. Look at the blood flowing from those wounds. And I say tonight, that's what Pilate did. I'll go further. If you reject Christ tonight, you do the same thing as Pilate did. And you did exactly what Pilate did. And you're as guilty as Pilate, the governor. You may come from a respectable home. You may be in a Free Presbyterian church service, but you're as guilty as Pilate. You reject the Lord. I'm telling you. If your decision is the same as Pilate's, then your crime is the same. I remember when God spoke to me about what I had done and how I had rejected the Lord in the past. Brought home to me, I was as guilty as Pilate. I stood with the chief priests and the elders saying, away with him. I cried out with the multitude, crucify him. I sat with Pilate and delivered him to be crucified. I was guilty, as Pilate was, and I had to repent. And I praise God I did by his grace. I beheld the man upon the cross. My sins upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice cry out among the scoffers. It was my sin that left him there. Until it was accomplished, his dying breath had brought me life. I know that it is finished. I repented, you see. And all my crimes are put under the blood. You need to repent. If you don't, you'll die as Pilate died. Do you know where Pilate is tonight? Can you not hear him? Do you not hear his cry? I rejected Christ. That's what I did with Jesus, which is called Christ. I hope we don't hear your cry. You look at Pilate, it was a cruel decision. It was a closing decision. You know something? When Pilate made that decision, he never spoke to Christ again. Christ never spoke to him. The book was closed. He didn't have another chance. He wasn't able to go back and say to the Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. He wasn't able to go back to the Lord Jesus and say, I repent of what I've done. I repent of the decision I've made. No, no, it was over. It was over. It was over. No more opportunities. No more facing the Lord Jesus until the day of judgment. It was his last encounter with Christ. Will this be your last encounter with Christ? My spirit shall not always strive with man. Tonight could be your last opportunity. Out of Christ, without a Savior. Give to Him now your heart. There the door of mercy closes and you hear His word depart. Oh, to be without a Savior, with no hope nor refuge now. Cannot be, O blessed Savior, one without thee dares to die. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Our time is gone. But your Pilate and his guaranteed doom. Pilate got harder after he rejected Christ that time because even though he confessed Christ was an innocent man, what did he do? He took the whip and scourged him. You wonder how anybody could do that. Acknowledging the man was innocent, yet he took a whip and scourged him. And then there was the water. What did he do? He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. He was not innocent at all. Guilty, Pilate. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. Took water in a basin. Washed his hands of the whole affair. I tell you something. Do you not know? There are consequences associated with this decision. Consequences that the water of 1,000 oceans would not wash away. It's not the washing of water in a basin that you need. It's the washing of blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. All right? We asked the question at the beginning of the meeting. I ask it now. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You must decide tonight. Yea or nay? Pilate said nay. And Pilate is in hell tonight. You decide for Christ. By the grace of God, may you decide for Christ tonight. Let's bow in prayer. heads are bowed. When Pilate made the decision, it was a considered decision. They considered it. Now the time has come for you to consider. What shall I do? Put your name in there. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Your head bowed. You can receive Christ right now where you are. You don't need a preacher. You need Christ. Why not, with your head bowed, pray now to the Lord. Lord, tonight I want to be saved. Tonight I want my sins forgiven. Tonight I repent of my sin. Lord, save me now. Save me now. Help me from this day to live for Thee. If you have asked the Lord to save you tonight, I'd love to hear from you. Mr. Hickerson would love to hear from you. Would you tell us at the door? On the other hand, if going out you would like to be saved, we'll speak to any of us here. Remember what we said. Going out of that door could determine your eternity. Decide for Christ tonight.